Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? It is June 23rd. It's a Tuesday, 2015. Thanks for being with us on a rainy day here in Maine. I shouldn't complain. My wonderful guest today, Barb Greenstein's from San Diego. They need rain. We're getting too much of it today. It's just one of those things. We'll talk about that, Barb, as we do the show, and I'll bring you on in just a couple of seconds. My name is Larry Jacobs. We do Corporate Training Talk Radio, where we cover training, HR, and corporate leadership. Did a wonderful show yesterday about language in the workplace and how leaders need to be very aware of not only language challenges within the factory workplace, but how they need when they're expats and going overseas, globalization, all that. They need to be very aware of language possibilities over there. Good show. Check it out. It's going to be a good one today, too. We archive every show over at our website. The website's corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com. Thanks for all of you who have gone to visit over there. We put up our schedule there as well. Always have the next show listed. If you scroll down, you'll see that we've archived every show. You can just click through on the links. Again, that's corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com. Don't hesitate to email me if you'd like to be a guest. I'd love to talk to you. I just got an email today from someone who asked, and we're going to get them on the air as well. My email is hrandtrainingradio@gmail.com. And don't hesitate to write Dear Larry, and we'll talk about it there. We tweet. Our Twitter address is @HR Training Radio. Follow us. We'll follow you in return. And for the next 30 minutes or so, we're going to have a good time with Barb Greenstein, who I'm going to bring on right now from where it isn't raining, San Diego. Hi, Barb. It's Larry.
Hey, Larry. How you doing?
I'm fine. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. We have beautiful sunshine out here in San Diego.
You always have. It's always room temperature. You know, it's always sunny in Philadelphia, where I'll be next week, but it's always a room temperature in San Diego. I love it out there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a glorious 75 degrees.
It's always 75. If it's a heat wave, it's 76, and if you're cold, it's 74. It's always 75 degrees. It's always room temperature. What can I tell you? It's great. You live in a – are you from there? Are you a California girl? Because East
no,
Coast
I'm
girls
not.
Are
I'm
hip.
I'm an East Coaster.
So you're hip. East Coast girls are hip. I dig the styles they wear and those Southern girls with the way they talk. No, never mind. I won't get into that. Okay, where are you from? New York, Philadelphia, where?
I'm originally from Miami, Florida.
Miami, so you're going from one warm weather climate to another. Wow, good for you. Okay. And welcome to the show, by the way. Let me introduce
you. Thank
you. You're welcome. You are the president and owner of Human Resource Prescriptions, LLC, which is a human performance consulting firm in San Diego, California. We're going to talk about that term, human performance. Barb's highly regarded for her facilitation and instructional design skills, worked with ATD as a facilitator. We're going to talk about all that today, and an instructional designer since 2005. I've seen her picture. She doesn't look that. I think this is a misprint. Barb has 30 years of experience in the training and development field, so I assume you started, when you were 7?
Exactly.
That's what I thought. Thank you. Okay. I'm very good at that, at guessing people's age. Pride yourself in continually looking for ways to help clients manage effectively in today's business environment while ensuring optimal performance and job satisfaction for their employees. You can learn more over at her website, HRXI.com, and she tweets at GreensteinHRX, and I sent out a tweet to you with the link to the show already today, Barb. Certificate programs through ATD, we'll talk about that, but first of all, tell us about Human Resource Prescriptions.
Well, Larry, I started it probably about 18, 20 years ago. Was working
mm-hmm.
internally in an organization and found that I was my hands were tied, perhaps, to do what I was wanting to do to help my clients internally, and had an opportunity to start a business outside of an organization, large organization. So I did that have been at it ever since. And one of the things that's just so great about working with my clients is that I'm always helping them to – there goes the dog, and I'm going to close the door.
Let me just say something. I hear the dog. I hear the dog. As to our listeners, dogs are welcome on Corporate Training Talk Radio.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, I'm outside in beautiful San Diego, and I locked her in, so that will work just fine. But, you know, one of the great things about working with my clients is they frequently come to me and they ask me, Barbara, we need a training program. Can you do this training program? And what I do is I try to help them figure out what's really going on within their organization and what's the best way to get their employees working at an optimal level. And to do that, we analyze everything that's going on within the org, and we try to find what's the root cause to why people aren't performing at an optimal level. Hmm. And then from that, we put solutions in place that are going to address the things that are going on with their employees. So training is great when you have knowledge and skill deficits for your employees, but sometimes that's not what's going on, and I help them to figure out what's really happening and to make sure that we conquer every issue that's happening within the organization.
It's cool. And what would be a typical caveat for a company besides what you just said? Like, as you analyze it, and at the end, what's a typical one that might pop out?
A typical one that might pop out would be, the most common thing that often happens is people will ask me to come in and to design a training program. And sometimes it is that indeed. It's come in and give them a program that they need, training program that's going to address particular situation going on within their organization. But sometimes, for example, they think they need training, and the reality is that the support of their leadership is lacking. Maybe their leadership needs help in how to work with employees. Maybe they have a particular leader who really needs to go through some sort of an executive coaching type of solution or intervention. And so that's the sort of thing that would come out of it. It may be that there's a need for an information enrichment within their e-learning, that they are using something like e-learning, but it's not the most effective e-learning. It may be something like their internet. They have a great internet with lots of content. I'm going to have the other door closing now. But the problem with the internet is that they haven't organized it in a way that's going to allow people to get to the information, the content, when they need it. And so I'll help them to redesign or to think about the redesign, put them in touch with a person who can help them to redesign their information on their intranet, not necessarily internet. Those are usually pretty good. They usually have outside consultants working with them on that. But the intranet oftentimes has a little bit of a problem. So we get them in touch with an expert in that area, and we help them to refine how the information is organized for their employees so that their employees can get to the information when they need it and easily.
Just if I may ask, human resource prescriptions, what kind of companies do you work with? Are they Fortune 500 companies? Are they smaller industries? Are they factories? Are they ad agencies? What, or all of the above? Just talk about your clients.
All of the above. All of the above, Larry. I work with every size company that you can imagine. I've worked with retail. I've worked with fast food would be considered one. I've worked with a number of fast food companies. I've worked with the banking industry. I've worked with retail, big one, Nordstrom's. I've worked with manufacturing companies. I've worked with high-tech industry. Just name it. Every industry. The great thing about what I do is it doesn't matter that I'm not a subject matter expert. I become one by the end of the project to some degree. But I pride myself in working with subject matter experts internally within their organizations and using their resources to make it all work.
Well, it's really cool. I must ask this question. You talked about leaders before and how leaders may not relate to the company, which makes a lot of sense to me today because leaders, normally are a bit older than the average worker, let's say, or more experienced, maybe that's a better way to put it, all right? But in a digital age, a 22-year-old is very different from a 32-year-old because everything changes in those 10 years and very different from if I made a 50-year-old, okay, who may be the leader. Do you notice today, Barb, it's harder to communicate between generations because generations change so quickly. I'm curious about that.
I really don't like to label anybody in any way in today's world because I think that we get into a problem by doing that. When I'm working with an individual, a younger or older, I always try to realize that we have different set of skills and different set of experiences that mm-hmm. everyone brings to the table.
That's right.
And if I'm working with an executive in that capacity and I'm seeing some sort of a barrier in place, I always try to bring that home, the importance of realizing that not so much what age they are, but what do they bring to the table? What is the experience or the knowledge that they know that's going to help this organization to move forward? I think that's so important. I just recently worked on a training program with a person who is an author of strategy building, and he's building his training course for organizations based on his best-selling books. And one of the mm-hmm. things, one of the chapters in there is, how do we deal with this situation between the young and the old? And the way that it was worded, it sounds, you know, a little bit negative. And so I made the suggestion, let's not word it that way. Let's call mm-hmm. it, it's a challenge. It's because it's, if we label these things, what happens is we don't get past the conflict that occurs. And so
we start
with
a bias.
Basically,
you're starting with a bias. Yeah, and you know, you're biased from minute one and go on from there. So, what did you relabel it, if I may ask?
I don't remember. What you relabeled it? I can't remember. I have so many things going on.
Of course,
I just remember
that's
this conversation that we were having. And
I
know,
I don't know if it's appropriate or if you feel it. Do you want to push the book or anything like that, or would you feel uncomfortable?
No,
with that?
Not
you're,
really.
You're welcome
I don't
to.
Feel that. Is all proprietary stuff, so I you know,
sure.
Client confidentiality is very important to me. The thing that I'm trying to say is that, yes, I
noticed.
You're
doing a good job of saying it, yeah.
All right. I noticed that there is a generational gap. There is.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in every generation.
Yeah, but generations,
it happened in my
generations used to last longer. You know, in the 1940s to the 50s, you know, forget the World War II, which is not that easy to forget. But you know, the factory system was in place, the business system was in place, and it was in place for a long time. So the pressure on a generation or a leader leading people in a younger generation, okay, or a less experienced generation, was a little easier because of the transition. But in digital times, everything moves so quickly, you become obsolete in 25 seconds. John Oliver, I don't know if you watched John Oliver on HBO, but he did a thing. He showed an AOL commercial from 1995, and it might as well have had people painting pictures on the side of a cave. Okay, it was just so far-fetched in today's world. That's what I went.
Right.
You're doing good things. Human performance improvement.
Yeah. But, you know, I can remember when I was a kid and my dad was
that would be the
1980s, right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there you go. My dad was a very knowledgeable person, and I would be the first person to argue a point with him. So what I'm saying is that this is not something new. This is something that's been around forever.
Right. I won't beat the dead horse. I just think it's difficult these days for both sides. And I think what you're doing is really, really good stuff because you come in with an unbiased point of view and you make it work. And that's what it's all about. And you also do the certificate programs for ATD. What certificates are you doing? What certifications? What do you facilitate, oh my damn facilitator?
Oh, I am what they call the trainer's trainer, if you
mm-hmm.
will. So one of the main courses that I facilitate for ATD is a course called Designing Learning, which teaches folks that are in the learning and development industry that are actually designing learning courses for their corporations
mm-hmm.
a quick and easy way to take 3 days of workshop and go back into their office and start to design and develop learning programs for the content that needs to be developed right there within their organization, specifically designing it and customizing it for what's going on within their organization. I actually went back to school and got a master's degree in human resource development, and I spent probably a year and a half doing that. And the beauty of this course, the Designing Learning course, is we take that amount of content from a year and a half or a two-year program, and
mm-hmm.
we condense it into 3 days. So people get what they need. I mean, it's designed with all of the specifics that they need to go back and immediately start to make it work within their organization. So that's one of the courses I teach. And then the other courses that I teach
by the way, you just declared yourself, and I mean this as a 100% compliment, and because I love it. You just declared yourself the Cliff Notes of design, of training design.
There you go, the Cliff Notes. That's it.
You are.
That's
and
it.
That's good, because I can't tell you. I have a master's degree, and I can't tell you how many things I did with Cliff Notes. Okay? Because
yeah. No,
it boils it down to what you need. I love it. You're the Cliff Notes.
And that's important,
right?
Because people don't have time anymore to spend in week-long workshops doing what has to happen in order to go back and start putting together programs. So we have to find ways to condense the information for them and give them the need to know. What do they absolutely need to know to be able to do this stuff back in their office? The fluff is removed. If they want fluff, they can find it somewhere on a resource. But we're not providing that fluff in the class. It's being removed. And the other course that I teach, Larry, our courses that I teach, are based on the human performance improvement model for ATD. So I do a
mm-hmm.
number of those courses for them as well.
And talk about that human performance model at ATD. Talk about that.
Well, the HPI model has been around for a number of years. It started in probably the early 70s when folks were actually designing training, and there were a couple of gurus in the field who said, you know, there's situations where training doesn't always solve the problems for our employees. And so we need a larger model to work within to help us to determine when is the situation or the issue that's going on within the organization really related to skills and knowledge, and when is it something else. So there were a number of people, Harless and Tom Gilbert and losing all my train of thought here, major gurus who were actually involved in putting this human performance improvement model in place so that folks would have a larger model to work within to help them to determine what was the root cause of the problem that was going on within the workplace, and then what would be the best intervention to take, or usually more than one, interventions, what would be the best interventions to help individuals to move past the issues that they were having in the workplace. And that's what the whole model was about. And there's whole organizations that's what they work with, is human performance improvement. We all know about performance improvement, and this is taking it one step further and looking at how do humans play into this whole performance improvement cycle. And we have to think about the humans. Without the humans, nothing happens.
Exactly, which always brings up the question, you know, this is going to sound silly, but it's always something that strikes me as interesting. We always say performance improvement, and we add the word human in front of it. And are we ever talking about anything else? I mean, are we talking, what else would be? I mean, this is not like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes here we're talking about. Okay, it's performance, right?
Right.
That's where we want to be. It's performance.
Exactly.
And I guess you could look at kind of computer performance, but that, or something like that. But I think they should be named, and the performance part should just be reserved for the humans. Okay,
well,
Caesar the ape is not talking. Yeah.
When continuous process improvement got brought into the workplace, you know, I think they were talking a lot about systems improvement to a certain
mm-hmm.
degree. And so sometimes the human aspect was removed because we said stuff like, and Dr. Deming even said stuff like,
mm-hmm.
it's not one individual who caused a problem, the system's broken. Well, there's a person in that system.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
If somebody designed the system, it's always about humans, you know.
Right.
And let me ask you another question. This is, you know, you talked about training and all that, and I don't know whether you can answer this one, Barb, but it just strikes me as interesting. We talk about the workplace and all that. How much does psychology play into this? How much do you need to know about the, quote, humans who are working for you, okay, to design a program? Do you need to know about their culture? Do you need to know about their history? Do you need to know about their psyche? That kind of thing. I mean, somebody who works
in high tech is very different
from somebody who works at a grocery store. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I think it's huge. I think that it's probably underplayed. But, you know, what I find more and more is that people that I meet in the human resource arena, many of them come with a psychology background. They either
mm-hmm.
have a PhD in psychology or they've studied it at some level and they have decided to go away from being a psychologist and more
mm-hmm.
toward someone working in a larger organization and usually in human resources, organizational development. There's a whole program here in San Diego. I'm giving a little plug out. Alliant University has a program in organizational psychology, and all of those folks end up going into organizational development type of field of jobs, and I know many of them. And so they come with a heavy psychology background. I think it's very important. In my undergraduate work, I actually took psychology classes and probably could have had a degree in it. I had so many psychology classes. But I remember thinking, why are we taking all these courses in psychology? What am I ever going to do with them? And the amazing thing is they come into play all the time. You have to know how people think. You have to know what makes them tick. You have to know what's driving them to do what they do, the motivation side. How do you incentivize them so that they want to be there? All of that is psychology, every bit of it.
And, you know, it's interesting. The same thing you're saying now, this is interesting. In the workplace, you have to know the individuals, basically. Okay, the same exact thing, because I do education talk radio too, K-20, pre-K-20, kindergarten, and the same thing is going on there. They're saying, basically, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Barb, that one size doesn't necessarily fit all. All right? And for years, certainly when I went to school, one size either fit all or you walked around with bad shoes, to be quite honest, if you were a student. All right? Because you either fit into the mold or you didn't. But what's happening, it seems to me from what you're saying now, okay, is that there's a little more emphasis on the individual, which is hard for an organization to do because they are an organization made up of multi-humans. Okay, am I right on that, or is that happening?
No, ever since I've been in business, people have always said to me, we can't we can't think of our employees as that they're all the same. You have to always, especially when you're trying to motivate them to do the job, you can't think that John and Jim and Sam and Susie are all going to actually behave in the same manner. They're not going to behave in the same manner. There's different things that are driving them. And so because of that, you always have to get to know your employees so that you make sure that you can provide them with what they need in order to be able to get them to a point that they want to be there on a daily basis. I remember my husband at one point saying to me that he had an employee that was under his leadership. And the guy, no matter what he did, he couldn't get this person to behave the way that he wanted to behave. And I said to him, well, what have you done, hon? And so he told me some of the things that he did. And they were all very general in nature. And I said to him, I said, well, have you found out what he likes to do? What's his deal? What does he like to do? How could you engage him in a way that is something he wants to be a part of? And if you can engage individuals with things they want to be a part of, then oftentimes they're much more willing to do the things they don't want to do because you've taken the time to give them something that's going to add interest to their job.
Exactly.
He did and it worked.
And, you know, it's amazing. So, as they do this more and more in schools, it's going to be easier and more expected of corporate leaders as these children who now get this in school enter the workforce. It's going to. You're right on target, Barb. By the way, what is your husband's name? What is your husband's first name?
My husband's name is Larry. Larry.
You know, I didn't know that. What an astounding coincidence. That means noble of birth, I believe, in Hebrew, I think.
It must be. It must mean that.
In my case, it means looks like Brad Pitt. I don't know about your Larry, it's Aramaic. You have to go back there and really get through it. Speaking of languages, you know, one other thing is globalization these days. All right, and you work with companies that have branches all over the country, et cetera. Or they're going to expand into Asia, into Africa, into Europe, et cetera. And there are amazing cultural differences. Okay, an Italian worker will work differently than a worker in Des Moines, Iowa, or in Mexico City. And have you worked in that area at all in terms of human performance and dealing with training as we go global?
No,
what's the word on that,
almighty
prescriber?
That has to be something that's considered in designing any sort of what we call performance improvement strategy, whether it be training or whether it be something else. Because what works here in our Western world does not necessarily work in other countries. And, you know, we cannot be so blind to think that everybody is like us. They're not. And
that is correct.
Definitely not. So when I work with folks that are global, there has to be some time that actually takes place in determining what we need to do for that particular of the region of the world that they're planning this for. If we're putting some sort of a game in a training program, that game that we may know very, very well here in the United States oftentimes will not work in a place like China or will not work in a place like Saudi Arabia because they don't have a clue as to what we're talking about. And the gaming concept is completely not something that they culturally will adapt to. So we have to, absolutely have to. And with translations, the translation for whatever the programs are that we're offering, they have to be translated in a way that's going to allow we understand in their context what's going on. It can't be a literal translation. So you have to have real good translators in place as well.
And then, by the way, there were some great translation companies, if I may, at ATD, the conference. For those, just go through the book, and you'll find a lot of good companies there who can help you with that and take the nuance out of it. That's the killer is the nuance. Okay, my standing joke. My wife and I had a language training company. for corporate America during the .com. We were training engineers. My wife was basically, and she that's her expertise in English. They were Indian from India, or they were Chinese or whatever, and they're suddenly in customer service. And our standing, and we also did work with foreign workers who were on the factory floor, and our standing joke was that if you were on a factory floor, everybody listen to this, okay, you're on a factory floor and something breaks loose and somebody yells duck, half the people will get under the desk to avoid being hit, and the other half, if they're all foreign, will look up to see if they can see the duck. All right, you gotta be really careful. Okay, it's a whole different world. Okay, there, it's just incredible. Now, when is your next certification program going to start for ATD? Are you off for the summer vacation? You're going to overnight camp?
No,
I'm never off,
Larry. Right. Absolutely never off. I do a bunch of online classes for ATD. I've got another designing learning class starting online for them the week after July 4th on a Monday.
July 6th.
11 o'clock in the morning Eastern time.
How does an online course work? Do they have to be there at 11 a.m. or can they just be on at 12:30 that night or something? Okay,
no,
how does an online
they have
course
to be
work?
There. It is actually, it's leader-led, so it's not it's not asynchronous, it's synchronous, and they're asked to participate right online for 3 hours, seven weeks.
One day a week,
3 hours for 7 weeks.
21 hours, wow.
Yeah.
And they can do that at their desk.
Exactly. That's the beauty. They don't have to get in a plane. They don't have to leave their loved ones. They can be at home, and they do it at their desk during the workday, most of them. They're given assignments so that they actually have something to gel the information from week to week, and then they leave with a certificate at the end of 7 weeks. And all the same information that we cover in the designing learning class that we do in a face-to-face environment, they get in that online class.
What course is this? Is this like Designing Learning 101? Is this or 107? You know what I mean? How far along are we?
No, it's called Designing Learning. If they folks were to go to the ATD site and get on Designing, look at the education offerings and look for Designing Learning, they'll see that there's an online class that's being offered. And I don't know what that date is. I know it's July, the weekend
If it's the Monday after July 4th, it's either July 6th, the next Monday, or it's July 13th.
I believe it's the 6th.
There you go. And the holiday's over. There's no excuses, gang. Okay.
And
they have to attend all seven classes, right? Or they get a C?
They don't get a certificate if they
don't
attend six out of the seven. So
we even cut
them slack. They have to attend six out of the seven, and if they don't attend that seventh session, we ask that they watch the recording, and as long as they've done all of those requirements, they get a certificate.
And, Barbara, let me ask you this, and people will be interested in this. You're sitting at your desk. You sign up for the course. It's 11 a.m. on July 6th Eastern Time. You plunk in because you can go to td.org and sign up for Designing Learning. All right. What does it look like on the screen?
Well, the beauty of it,
their desk,
they're
it
sitting
like?
At their desk. They have half the screen is the PowerPoints for the presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually the presentation. They've already downloaded or printed out the participant guide to have with them for each of the seven sessions. There's a panel for all of the participants and myself, and I have a producer as well who sits on the phone with me and handles any technical issues. And there's a chat area. And what we do is we engage them every 3 to 5 minutes in some sort of an activity. There is no video. I'm not on video. They're not on video. It's all voice. And it's all done through, they're asked to write things on the screen. We send them into breakout rooms where they discuss with fellow participants for periods of time, different areas. It's wonderful.
And did you put this together? So it must be monumental, or did ATD put it together? Was it a combination of both?
ATD did. They sure did.
Wow.
And I'd like to claim it, but no, I didn't do it.
That's really, that's an astounding little piece of technology right there that gets everybody together. How many people are usually in a class?
I've got one going right now on Wednesdays. It's already started, and I have 26 people in the class.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is there an optimum? Could there be more?
They won't go more than 30.
That's good.
30.
Yeah. And by the way, is there any free and reduced lunch for anybody at school while they're there?
Free and reduced lunch? Well,
yeah, that's what they offer school kids. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're allowed to go to their break room and get their lunch.
Or they could just sit at their desk and do it. Yeah. Right.
That's right.
This is really cool. Do you like teaching online like that?
You know, I never thought I was going to like it. I started this in 2009, and when they first asked me to do it, I thought, oh, my gosh, I don't know.
Yeah,
and now I can't get enough of it. It's the best thing ever.
And did you – I don't know. Were you at ATD in Orlando a month ago?
I was there for pre-conference workshop. I actually was not there for the conference.
Okay. And you didn't present at the conference. Which do you like better, presenting in person or presenting online, or are they mets?
They both have their advantages. I'm a ham, so I like getting up in front of a group of people and doing my dog and pony show. But there is certainly a benefit to sitting at my computer at 8:00 in the morning, and if I don't feel like getting out of my jammies, I don't have to.
Welcome to the world of radio. If you saw what I was wearing now, you'd be absolutely astounded. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is a derby, a tuxedo, and very shiny black shoes.
That's right.
Always ask me why I like having radio as opposed to video, and I say that's because my guests do not have to have their hair done.
That's exactly right.
And enjoy and talk. Barb, this was great. We're going to do more shows. Okay? This was just terrific. Okay? And what I'd like to do is plan a show in August. Okay? And you can give us the update, okay, of the July 6th group, and we can talk about that and all that sort of thing. Yeah, that's really great stuff. Okay? It's wonderful. By the way, what's the name of the course you're doing right now?
The name of the course I'm doing right now is also Designing Learning.
They have me booked.
Oh, yes. We could spread ourselves out thin and do lots of different areas of content, but I believe you should do what you're good at, and I'm good at designing learning.
You are good at this.
This is where I stick. I do designing learning. I do probably, I would say, between 12 to 14 workshops for them a year. Some of them are online.
Wow.
All on designing learning. Some of them are online. Some of them are face-to-face. I've got one in San Diego. If people want to come to San Diego for 3 days, beautiful, downtown San Diego, right next to where it's held. And it's third through the fifth.
You probably won't get anybody there at that time because it's always snowing and cold there in San Diego in September, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, you picked a good spot to live, I got to tell you. This is great. We're going to do more, Barb. This was wonderful. You're a great guest. I loved having you on. We got to go.
All right. Take care. Thanks.
What's the dog's name? Let's do a shout-out for the dog.
Autumn.
Dogs.
Autumn.
What kind of dog is Autumn? What kind of dog is Autumn?
Autumn is a border collie lab mix.
The sweetest dog, and well, B, the sweetest dog, and A, the smartest dog. Okay?
Absolutely.
Is Autumn going to, like, medical school or something? Because that's a very good mix of dogs.
Yeah, she's gone to medical school, and she's back.
That's good. And has she taken your course? You know, Autumn is so smart as a border collie, she could actually take over the course if you're sick one day. Border collies are
that's
smart.
That's right. I keep hoping for that, Larry. It hasn't happened yet, but I like the idea.
But you're so good at it, the class would fall apart if you weren't there. Tell your Larry, this Larry says hello. Barb, this was great.
I will.
Thank you so much. Okay?
Hey, thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Barb Greenstein, let me just give you everything you need. It's, she tweets at Greenstein HRX. And if you want to learn more about her company, it's HRXI.com. Okay, and of course you can contact her through there. Also, you want to go over, check out her courses in designing, learning, and they are over at TD.org. TD.org, which of course is ATD. Okay, thanks, Barb. This was just great, and Autumn is welcome here anytime as background. Believe me, I love dogs. All right, we're going to archive the show at our website, corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com, corporatetrainingradio.wordpress.com. We'll tweet out a direct link, as we have already done, but we'll tweet it out again over at HR Training Radio. Please follow us so you're involved in the world of HR and training and corporate leadership and all that Barb covered today. Beautiful job, Barb. We really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Check out our website, all right, because we have a lot of shows scheduled. We always put the next one up. You can schedule it in, et cetera. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Corporate Training Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Everybody, you have a great, great day.